In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we witness the pathos of the incarnate God who weeps. Would that today you would recognize what is to your peace. And Christ is linking peace with internal and personal conversion. And we see this, what they call in literature, aposiopesis, this interruption of his thought as Christ starts to say some words and gets choked up with emotion and doesn't finish what he's going to say. Imagine God getting choked up with emotion and he interrupts his line of thought. Our Lord's emotions were perfectly ordered. We have what are called antecedent emotions. We have disorder in our passions and our emotion. His were perfectly ordered in his sacred humanity. And every emotion that he experienced from the incarnation all the way through the rest of eternity is perfect. Wouldn't we like to be those who bring him joy rather than further tears? Ironically, Jerusalem means city of peace, and they didn't know what was to their peace. It's become a contradiction unto itself. And he weeps over their spiritual destruction, over the physical destruction of the holy city. What is peace? In Dante's Paradiso, in Canto 3, he meets with this nun who had some problems in her vocation, and she is in one of the lowest spots of heaven, even though she didn't spend too long in purgatory. When she ascended to heaven, she was in one of the lowest spots. This was a Piccarda Donati. And Dante says that the three lowest rungs of heaven are for those who failed in any of their vows. And he asks her, aren't you envious of those who are higher in the hierarchy of heaven, those who have a better spot in heaven? En la sua voluntate e nostra pace. In his will is our peace. And then she goes on to say, he's like the ocean towards which everything tends, that which he has created and nature produces. Obviously with a rhyme in medieval Italian. Do I tend towards him in everything that I am? Do I know what brings peace? Do I bring him joy or tears? Do I live in a way that brings him joy? And how do we attain this peace if it's only to be found in his will? If Christ wept at Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, if St. Francisco Marto, the shepherd boy of Fatima, said that God is so sad at the state of the world, how much does he weep today? You know, our Lord is exhibiting this beatitude of blessed are those who mourn. It's not an exercise in emotionalism or depression. But the beatitude of mourning takes into account those things in this world that do not give God glory and mourns, not because they upset us, but because we know they bring sorrow to God. And a faithful follower of Christ goes about finding solutions. When we consider 1/3 of Catholics don't believe in the real presence, we're left with a choice. Am I going to get upset and complain and heap more grief on our Lord's heart? Or am I going to be about solutions, preparing myself better for communion, receiving him with greater devotion, with a sense of reparation, making a longer, more profound thanksgiving, spending more time with him in adoration, renewing the faith that I already have in the real presence so as to deepen it and reaffirm it? When we hear all sorts of heresies coming from those who should know better, we are left with a choice. Am I going to be indifferent Or am I going to have enter into sterile complaint and bring more sorrow to him? Or am I going to go about studying the faith? You know, the study of the faith, the catechism, the fathers, St. Thomas Aquinas, has a purifying effect on the intellect. You can't love what you don't know. And our faith is an ocean that has no bottom. We are never done learning the deposit of faith and making it our own. So we ought to redouble our efforts at studying this gift that we've been given of the deposit of faith. Sometimes the devil will remind us of past sins, and we can be tempted to focus on ourselves, question God's mercy, worry, did I confess everything? And all of a sudden we become neurotic, narcissistic, scrupulous, and we're focused on ourselves. And again, our Lord weeps. So what do we do if he reminds us of past sins that were forgiven? We just immediately thank our Lord for his mercy and we get on with it. We have to act quickly. St. Paul tells the Corinthians to take every thought prisoner for Christ. If I'm worried that there's something that I haven't confessed, well, our faith is built on facts, on principles. If I don't know what it is, don't worry about it. Ask your guardian angel to remind you. If he does remind you of something, just simply confess it and leave it in our Lord's heart. But we ought not become neurotic trying to excavate something that probably isn't there, because ultimately it's all about self. If we are cultivating our interior life, he'll remind us. And then we act quickly. It's mentioned in our next confession and move on. You know, the souls in purgatory have no recollection of their sins. They're so hyper-focused on our Lord that they long for, and it's a torture for them to not possess him, to not see him. But it's all about Christ. It's all about the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's not about self. We can learn from them by exercising the same longing and the same desire for the heart of Christ. As we do that, we forget about self. As we do that, we bring him great joy and consolation. As we do that, we start to work off some of our purgatory, because in longing for him, in desiring him, in living in his presence the entire day, in trying to do this in a way that pleases him, he purifies us of our disordered attachments. It would be good to go about the rest of our lives living in a way that gives him joy. And how do we do that? It's not complicated. Our Lord doesn't demand from us anything exotic, but some very simple things that we know bring him joy. We make a daily offering, a morning offering, giving him our thoughts, our words, our actions for the coming day. We consecrate it all to him, and then we try to renew that consecration of what we're doing in the midst of our duty throughout the day. We ought to be doing mental prayer. A priest ought to do at least an hour a day, a layman 15 to 30 minutes a day, a daily rosary. Some spiritual reading will also help purify our intellect and inflame our affections for our Lord. We study the faith, as already mentioned, and when we've done our duty to his glory throughout the day, we end the day with an examine. First, we thank him for the graces of the day. We thank him for however we've cooperated with his grace. And if we find something that didn't give him glory, we ask him pardon and we take note of it in order to do better tomorrow. Living like this pleases him. Living like this brings him joy and has a purifying effect on our souls. I imagine many will be talking and citing John Henry Newman these days, and that's fine, as long as it's quoting him correctly and using him properly. But he said, a well-catechized child is already a missionary. Somebody who is immersed in the truth is already equipped to do a mission. And this mission is the mission of saving souls. We know that to pray for the souls in purgatory gives him joy. We know that praying and working towards the salvation of souls gives him joy. We know that praying for the dying gives him joy. We know that making acts of reparation gives him joy. It's within our hands. And living like this, we can certainly bring joy and make up for many divine tears. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.